Okay, today we're looking at the next part in our new series, and we're looking at this morning, speaking in tongues. Now, we've only got 35 minutes to explore this, so I'm going to actually give you the fast, user-friendly guide to tongues. But if you'd like to have the longer, detailed theological study, please get hold of our DVD box set on the Holy Spirit, which has more detailed study. But this morning, this is what we're going to look at. Speaking in tongues, what is it? What is it for? And how do I develop the gift of speaking in tongues? So firstly, number one, we're going to look at what is it? What is speaking in tongues? Now, speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual language between man and God, and it's a gift from God. Now, we know that all God's gifts are good. Jesus says in Luke, "If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And he was saying to his audience there, if you who are fallen know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more do I as the loving Father know how to give good gifts to my children? And that good gift is the Holy Spirit. Jesus also said to his disciples in Acts, wait for the gift my Father promised, and in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts are a gift from God, something from us, for us. Now, the important thing about our faith is this. Christianity is a spiritual faith. It's about our spirit. It's not a list of rules. It's not like other religions where there's a wise ethos to follow written down by a dead leader. But Christianity is a spiritual faith. It's based on a relationship with the living God. So God is alive. Jesus went to the grave and came alive. And Christianity is about a spiritual relationship with the one and only God. God is spirit. We are made in his image, and although we have a body, we also have a spirit. When we enter into a relationship with Jesus, our spirit becomes alive to God, and a spiritual journey begins. Now, there are many clubs and organizations a little bit like church. I met a lady at a Christmas party who was telling me how she's part of the Rotarians. That's the Rotary Club for younger Rotarians, and they have a tremendous philosophy about being, serving, doing work in the community. They have fellowship, and their ethos is, their purpose is to meet for fellowship and to do good in the world. Now, what is the difference between that very good organization and church that wants to do good in the world and fellowship and meet together? The difference is our faith is spiritual. There is a spiritual element of a relationship with God that's designed to be lived in the spirit. And so that's the difference. So when we're looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit himself, when Jesus says to be in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Now, McVitie's Digestive. Do you remember an advert years ago? It says, a drink's too wet without one. And you take your digestive biscuit and you dunk it in the tea. Well, that's what baptize means. It means to dunk or to saturate. When you take a digestive biscuit and dunk it in your tea, it's no longer just biscuit, is it? It's got tea saturated into it. And that's how we're meant to live our Christian life. Not as a dry biscuit, just believing everything, but to be saturated in every part with the Holy Spirit. So it's more than just believing stuff. It is believing, but living a spiritual relationship in the Spirit with God, saturated with his Spirit. What a wonderful gift from God. Now, it's an interesting thing with gifts. Some years ago, our TV virtually, when I say explode, it wasn't quite an exaggeration. And it sort of Something went very wrong with it just before Christmas, and we decided rather than give Christmas presents, we'd give a Christmas present to ourselves, a TV. And we were all really excited to have this new TV for Christmas. But if I was a millionaire, having a TV for Christmas might be a little bit like buying an iron for Christmas. It's a household appliance. I could replace the TV anytime. Might not want one for Christmas. It's a kind of unwanted gift, an extra. Now, with God, the Holy Spirit isn't like an optional extra gift on the side. This gift is essential. It's part of our Christian walk. And so it's not like a gift for a millionaire, does he want one, doesn't he? This is a gift for us that is absolutely essential to our Christian life. And that's why God gives it. It's not an unnecessary add-on, or like choosing to, you know, go to buy a brand new car and you can have one with alloy wheels, or you can upgrade to, you know, faster engine, or you can upgrade to this, that, and the other. It's not like the upgrade. It's what is meant to be standard. And so the spiritual gifts given by God through the Holy Spirit are part of this new spiritual life and journey. Now, there are lots of spiritual gifts, and today we're just looking at tongues, but this series is going to look at all the different spiritual gifts that God can give to us. So God may give us wisdom or knowledge or discernment or healing. And what these gifts do, they enhance our human experience. When God's Holy Spirit is working in us, we know things we couldn't possibly know without the Spirit whispering to us. Sometimes we respond to things which just wouldn't have occurred to us if the Holy Spirit wasn't prompting us. And so in this way, the gifts are meant for our everyday life to prompt and move and teach and educate us. Now, in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to summarize what Paul says. And here he is teaching the church on the gifts. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them for the common good. To one there is given a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing. And his list continues: miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now Paul goes on to say, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. And so we can see here, Paul is saying, we're all a part of the body. The Holy Spirit gives different gifts as he wants to. And the purpose is that we desire the spiritual gifts and we use them for each other's benefit. And so we share out what God has given us. So he gives us these gifts for the benefit of each other. So if this morning God speaks to me a prophecy for Robert, and I choose not to operate in that or really go about it, I am defrauding Robert. God has something to say to Robert. And so God gives us the gifts to serve and help each other. Now in the past, in the Old Testament, this is how it worked in the old days. Occasionally, you would see men or women doing amazing things where they just live their normal human life serving God. And then the Holy Spirit would come on a special occasion for a special event on that person. And power would come on them to do that special thing. And when the special thing was over, the Holy Spirit would come back. And so they were just empowered for a one-off moment. So you think of Samson now. Do you remember Samson? Now, it's interesting. We don't know if Samson was a muscly guy or a little guy. But what we do know is when the power of God came upon him, he had strength that no man could have. In Judges 14, 5 and 6, we see Samson on a practice run. Samson approached the vineyards of Timnah. Suddenly, a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as you might have torn a young goat. Now, that's not natural for a man, is it? But instead of running away from the lion, he runs to it and rips the lion to shreds, because the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And then that occasion passed. Now, the purpose for that was that Samson would become the deliverer and deliver the people from the Philistines. Now, you think of Elijah and Elisha. Now, when they lived, they had the Holy Spirit upon them so many times for special occasions, it was almost like living in the Spirit. And you think if they saw people healed, oil never running out. And what about this one? This might be a familiar one to you, but I love this one. Being a bit of a practical girl, I like this. In 2 Kings 6, 4-7, great story. They're asking Elisha to go with them to where their meeting is too small, so they're going to go and chop up some wood to make a new meeting place. They ask him to come with them. I wouldn't have thought he's the most practical guy, but there we are. They just perhaps wanted his company. So it says they went down to the Jordan and began to cut trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head flew off into the water. "Oh no, my lord," he cried. "It was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there into the water, and it made the iron head float. "Lift it out," he said, and the man reached out his hand and took it. That's quite handy when you've lost things, isn't it? Now, these were occasional experiences where the Spirit of God came on a person for a special occasion. But this is what happened with Jesus. After Jesus died on the cross, he defeated death and he rose again. He spent about 6 weeks with his followers before ascending to heaven. And then he said, "Wait, I will send the Holy Spirit to help you." This is what it says in Acts 1, verse 3. After his suffering, Jesus presented himself to the believers and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, this is what this means. No longer like the Old Testament, something new was happening, where instead of a human life just occasionally being empowered by the Spirit, now it was a daily thing. They would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, like dunking your biscuit. And that means the Spirit's power could enhance their life every single day. So instead of going through a diary and highlighting the odd occasion that God turned up, now it is intended as a daily experience, a daily walk with God in the Spirit. What a fantastic gift. Our faith is not about trying to be good. It's about life in the Spirit. And it is clear that it is not God's plan or intention for us to try and live our Christian life without the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the Bible alive to us. The Holy Spirit prompts us when we know we're going too far in a way that's destructive in our lives. The Holy Spirit enables our prayer and brings spiritual power into our everyday lives. The Holy Spirit is an essential to our life. Now, Christmas time, when our kids were little, there was always some kind of present that everybody wanted. So one year it was Chocolate Factory. And every kid wanted Chocolate Factory. And if you hadn't bought it in Woolworths by the 5th of October, that's it, you were stuffed. And so I remember phoning relatives all over the country to try and find me a Chocolate Factory. Another year, it was Barbie Camping Jeep, as close to camping as I ever got. Barbie Camping Jeep. Well, one year, it was this. Along would come the adverts. We try not to let our kids watch TV in December because the adverts look so amazing. Anyway, one year, Matthew really fancied the Action Man helicopter. And I can hear some yes. And it's very interesting when I went on the internet to see how awful these toys look now. This is some years ago. And if Matthew's listening on the internet, he's 21 now, so you may not forgive me for this story, but, you know, there we go. Matthew, he was so excited about this Action Man helicopter. Now, the adverts were fab. Every time the advert came on, there was music, it was exciting, there was explosions, there was dust, there was Action Man running around being heroic. In the middle of it all was a state-of-the-art helicopter coming in. Action Man would jump out, do his heroic thing, jump in at the last minute, and in the middle of an explosion would just drift off in the helicopter. Oh, that's all he wanted for Christmas, the Action Man helicopter. Thankfully, we managed to get it. It's in a great big impressive box about this size with beautiful, you know, exciting pictures all over it. Wrap it all up. Christmas morning comes. Now, Matthew's so excited. He's really, really hoping Father Christmas has got him the Action Man helicopter. And so he comes downstairs. He goes for the big present first. This must be it. Rips all the paper off. Woo! His Action Man helicopter rips open the box. And what is inside? A heap of dark grey plastic, wrapped in plastic, with a sheet of stickers wrapped in plastic. Don't worry, Matthew, after lunch we'll piece it together. I can see some of you have been there, right? So Christmas lunch, afterwards, I spent the entire afternoon on the carpet, matching up fiddly pieces and gluing and sticking, till eventually you've got a rickety grey Action Man helicopter with lightning bolts stuck on. And it was at this crucial moment I realised there was one missing ingredient. The batteries. Who else has done this? This isn't the first Christmas that you don't notice in this tiny small print on the side of the box, batteries not included. So, oh, poor Matthew. So I hand over the helicopter, and it's like playing with the almost gift. It's there, but it doesn't make the helicopter noises. It's there, but it doesn't have the flashing lights. And shame to me, he has to turn the propeller by hand. It's at this point Julian starts ringing friends, going out looking for a spa or a corner shop to find the batteries. Now, Matthew forgave me. We're still friends. And the helicopter has long gone to plastic heaven. But this is a bit like our spiritual life. It's our Christian life. The Holy Spirit is the battery. Without the Holy Spirit, we are living an almost gift. We have eternity in heaven, but we are struggling here on earth without the batteries. It's almost the same. It looks the same. But we don't have the batteries, the power. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference to our Christian life. The Holy Spirit brings the full gift, the whole bells and whistles spiritual package. And that's what's intended for us. Now, to go back to our little mouse, I won't linger on the sad picture too long. Let's move to the... there we go. You can see you're happier immediately now, right? Now, that little mouse... Let's go back on the mouse trap. Now, doesn't life sometimes have nasty surprises? You know, things don't go our way, nasty little surprises. But this little mouse, he turns it into a workout. Eye of the tiger. There he is. Instead of being flattened, he comes back with strength. Now, God has provided strength for us. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit and know the power of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit is so important that Jesus said to his followers, wait, wait, don't do anything. When I've gone, don't do anything till I've sent my Spirit to help you. And we heard last week in Acts 2 how the Holy Spirit arrived dramatically to the believers waiting in Jerusalem. In Acts 2, 1-4, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, what did they do with this? Immediately, they rush out into Jerusalem and start telling everybody what Jesus did. Now, one minute, they're frightened and cautious because Jesus has died. They might be next. They're hiding, they're waiting. And now they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They go out and witness to the whole crowd about the amazing things Jesus has done. And it says 3,000 that day decide to follow Jesus. In the early church, we read, what a buzz there was in the early church. They saw signs and wonders. They met together every day. And it says every day the church was added to. The church was growing. There were miracles. It was an amazing time. And as the church grew, it became the natural step to believe and to be baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit. This was the natural way of doing it. And so what we're going to see, look, people believed in Jesus and they were baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, which order it happened didn't really matter. I'll give you a couple of stories. Do you remember when Peter went to visit, when we studied Acts, Peter went to visit Cornelius, and he was the Roman centurion in Caesarea. Now, Cornelius loved God. He prayed to God. He was kind to the poor. He was a godly man, but he didn't know about Jesus. And God put him and Peter in touch with each other. Peter goes and explains to his whole household. So there's Peter in the house. There's Cornelius and all his family who love God, don't really understand about Jesus, let alone the Holy Spirit. Peter starts preaching to them. This is what happens. While Peter was still explaining, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message of Jesus. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Do you remember we studied at this moment? They thought the message was only for the Jews, but discovered it was for Gentiles. That's non-Jews. That's all of us. Brilliant. But they were amazed that the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So Peter's preaching, and while he's preaching, suddenly these people are baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues while he's preaching. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So they believed, were baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water. Second story, Paul in Ephesus. Now, Paul arrived at Ephesus, this is in Acts 19. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we haven't heard that there even is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. "Ah," Paul explained, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." And then when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So we can see there in the New Testament, these were people who were baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, or baptized in the Holy Spirit and then baptized in water. But what we don't see is some great long waiting journey, spinning it out. It all happened very close together. And that is the intended plan for us too. So that is what speaking in tongues is and where it comes from. So let's look at what is speaking in tongues for. What's it for? Now, there's two contexts. One of the contexts for speaking in tongues is in a meeting with tongues and interpretation. We don't have time this morning to go into that, but in a nutshell, and I've got notes for you on the stage here. If anyone would like to take notes, there's much more detail in the notes. Speaking in tongues and an interpretation, that's when within a worship meeting that's not a public guest meeting like this, but say like a Sunday night small groups together or in your small group meeting, somebody might feel inspired to give a tongue out loud and they or someone else is inspired with the interpretation. And that's one use. But we're going to go on to the second use because we have more time to look at that. Okay, the second use is the personal use of speaking in tongues. And in this context, speaking in tongues is a personal prayer language between man and God. It's a gift from God. It's a direct spirit-to-spirit communication, like a heavenly prayer language. And also in the early church, it was seen as an evidence of somebody being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So in Acts 2, it said all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as well. So it was one of the evidences that somebody had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at three things. Why a prayer language? What? Why? Isn't just like using our own language enough? Why is there speaking in tongues? Why did God give us a prayer language? Well, the first reason is this. It's all about relationship. The Christian faith is about a relationship, not a set of values, although it has values. It's about a relationship between us and God. Now, isn't it typical that because God is spirit and we have a spirit, because relationship is so important to God, he gives us a language in which to communicate. Isn't that just like God? That relationship is so important to be able to communicate in a deeper way. He gives us the gift of a language in which to do it. That's just amazing and typical of God to do that. Now, with tongues, in Corinthians, Paul explains, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries in the spirit. It's an unknown, mysterious language between us and God. So why? Why the special language? Well, do you find there are times when words are simply not enough? To give you an example, when Rachel was born, Rachel was my first baby. I've never had experience having a baby before. You're a bit nervous and everything. Go through having the baby. Absolutely amazed. Just absolutely amazed beyond words. And the next morning, I was lying in the bed in hospital, and this was in Hereford, and there was a massive long hospital ward of farmers' wives with big 10-pound farmers' sons. And Rachel was born 2 weeks early and was a little 6 pounds 5 ounces, little wiggly thing in premature nappies. And I was lying in the bed and she was in the Perspex box next to me, just lying there, this tiny little thing in a pink blanket. And the love I felt was beyond words. I could not speak. And I leant my arm out of the bed over into the cot and just stroked her little hand and her arm. Because I just couldn't speak. And as I was doing that, it was just tears running down my face. Now, to my embarrassment, a nurse rushed over and asked me what was wrong, thinking I was in distress. And I kind of choked, "I'm happy." It was a moment beyond words. I couldn't believe this little life was inside me, that it was part of me and Julian. This was a family. And this little person I loved so much, I didn't really even know them. And it was beyond words. And there are times, aren't there, in our relationship with God that the all-powerful, all-knowing creator God of the entire universe wants a relationship with us. And sometimes our hearts are so full of love to express how we feel that it is beyond words. Our human words are not enough to express the joy and the love and the gratefulness and the relationship. And I'm even struggling to put it into words now. And there are times when our language is too limited. And so God gave us a spiritual language that we can express all that is in our heart to him. In Romans 8, it says this: the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. It's just a noise. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Now, also, sometimes it might not be joy. Do you remember Hannah, who was desperate to have a baby? And she went into the temple. And it says that the priest Eli was watching her and observed her mouth. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And he thought she was drunk. And he went over to her and said, "Look, you know, you shouldn't be here if you're drunk." And she says, "I'm a woman who's deeply troubled. I'm not drunk. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. I've been praying here out of my anguish and grief." And she didn't have the words, so her mouth was moving, but she was trying to communicate from her spirit to God. Wouldn't she have loved tongues? So sometimes when it's praise, sometimes when we're in the depth of despair, our spirit can commune with God, and the Holy Spirit works with us in this heavenly language that we release our praise or our request to God in a spiritual way, spirit to spirit, that cannot be done in words. Now, further on in Corinthians, it says this: if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Now, that's not saying it's a bad thing. It's saying that sometimes my mind, I can't wrap my mind around this thing, but my spirit prays. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit. I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit. I will also sing with my understanding. So it's both. There are times when we pray in our own language, and there are times when we pray in our spiritual language, speaking in tongues. So it expresses the things that we can't, and God has given that to us so that we can be released in that. The next thing tongues is given for is this. It's a little bit like 3D glasses. You know, all these films now that are in 3D, you put the glasses on, you go in there, and whoa, you can see things a little bit sharper and clearer and in three dimensions. The Bible says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. Paul says, I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues. And what this means, edify, means to instruct or improve someone morally or intellectually. What tongues does, as we pray in tongues in our life, it gives us insight and revelation and enlightenment. It's like seeing extra. It opens our sight to the spiritual world. It helps our development and strengthens us in our journey. Without it, we are weaker. In fact, tongues is so valuable for insight and strengthening that Paul recommends all believers to speak in tongues. And also, this is the powerful thing that we looked at in the other verse. Because the Holy Spirit knows God's will, those times when we don't know God's will or what to do, we come and we pray and we speak in tongues, and the Holy Spirit prays God's will to the Father through us when we don't know God's will. How powerful is that? That you can be submitting yourself to God and praying his will into your life by praying in tongues. Okay, that was in the verse earlier in Romans 8 where it says, and he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. How powerful. No wonder this is such a precious and amazing gift. And the other thing that it does, the last thing, it's a release of power. Now, as we pray in tongues, our spirit connects with the Holy Spirit, like tuning us in. You know, when you're tuning something on the radio, not quite there, not quite there. Oh, full sound now. And speaking in tongues tunes us in to the Holy Spirit that we're more receptive to what he has to say. He helps us to worship, to prophesy, and when we pray. Now, this is the important thing about tongues. It's given to us by God as an everyday gift. Now, in our house when I was growing up, my mum had the best china. And the best china was only brought out on special occasions for special guests. But the rest of the time, we'd have our tea in a mug. Or it's a little bit like we put our best clothes on for a wedding, but the rest of the time they're in the wardrobe. And we save our best for special occasions. Tongues is not a save for best or a special occasion. Tongues is like our mug of tea that we use several times a day. Tongues is an everyday gift meant to be used every day. So lastly, moving on to our last point, how do we receive the gift of speaking in tongues? We know what it is. We know what it's for. More details in the notes. How do we receive? Well, I thought I'd just give you my personal experience as a starting place. When I was about 19, I was on the summer holidays at my parents' home in Selsey. Beautiful place, as you can see. This is it on the screen. And I was reading the book 9 o'clock in the morning. And this is a book about the Holy Spirit and about gifts. Now, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'd heard people speak in tongues, but I didn't really know anything about it, hadn't had any teaching. And I read in the book that it was a little bit like just exercising faith, like Peter getting out of the boat, and that all you had to do was exercise faith and say a few words. Well, I was amazed. It's this accessible. Why did nobody tell me this before? So I was on my own in the little sun lounge. That's what poor people call a conservatory. This is a long time ago, you see. So this is a little sun lounge tacked onto the end of our house by the garden. And I was on my own, and I put the book down, and I said, Lord Jesus, give me the gift of speaking in tongues. And I step out the boat in faith now. And I started to move my mouth and make a sound, and God started to give me a few little words. And I was so excited, and I just repeated those words. And it was only a little. That's all I had, but I was really pleased. Then I locked the house up, and I went for a walk down the beach along the seawall here. And it was a day when there weren't many people out, and I was walking along the seawall. And as I looked at the sky and the sea, I was just just so in love with God. So just, it's just amazing. And I was walking along, just started singing a little chorus. I'm not much of a singer, so it's very quiet. Just like, you know, singing a little song, just praising God, just walking along the seawall. And as I was singing from my heart, the words turned into tongues. And I was singing in tongues. I was shocked and delighted and carried on in my squeaky little mouse voice. And that was it. And I've used tongues ever since. And so it's just a case of stepping out. And we'll look at some little instructions to finish with. How do I use the gift now? A variety of ways. I might be in my car driving home. As you drive home from here, there's often a beautiful sunset over Blina Mice. And I just feel my heart welling up with praise to God. And I pray in tongues all the way home. Pastorally, if I'm with somebody or going to meet someone over pastoral need, I pray in tongues for God's wisdom. Before a counseling session, that's whether I'm being counseled or I'm doing the counseling. Praying in tongues for healing. Often God gives you an insight. In times of tragedy, where words are not enough and you don't know what to say, then I would use tongues. In times of ministry, going to a difficult meeting or doing a presentation or a time when I might be nervous and I need God's power and the Holy Spirit, I pray in tongues. I ask for the Holy Spirit to fill me and I feel his filling and in my personal devotions. So basically, anytime, I'm not overheard pretty much because tongues is meant to be an everyday gift. It's essentially a wonderful and indispensable prayer language to communicate between you and God. So speak in tongues every day. Now to finish, I give you a few points of how to receive tongues if you haven't before. Number one, the first step is give your life to Jesus. If you're not in a relationship with Jesus yet, give your life to Jesus, the adventure begins. Ask someone to pray with you, or you can pray by yourself. Number two, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe as I've been talking this morning, you think, I don't know if I've done that stage yet. I don't think I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, we will pray for you. Tuesday night, we're going to pray for some of these things. So ask God yourself or ask a leader to pray for you. Number three, ask the Holy Spirit for the gift of tongues. Number four, you're about to start. Reach out to God from your spirit in praise. Just relax and let your spirit worship him and feel your love and devotion to God in your spirit. And then open your mouth and make a sound. God will do the rest. Now, God won't come down and move your tongue and move your lips for you. You have to do that yourself. But as you step out and do that, God will give you the words. Now, we've prayed for many kids and teenagers on youth camps. And because they're less complicated than us, they're speaking in tongues like that. Number five, it's not about getting it right. There's no such thing about getting it right or wrong. Everybody has a different tongue, so be relaxed. Number six, start with a little. Use it every day and see God add to you. And lastly, number seven, not to be reserved for best. Use the gift every day and see your spiritual life blossom. Now, Paul says to the church this. Follow the way of love. Now, we just studied love for a whole season, haven't we? The way of love is sharing with one another. Let's bring power and the Holy Spirit into our life together as community. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I would encourage you today, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gift in tongues, search it earnestly and don't wait any longer. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so overwhelmed that you would give us such amazing gifts, that we're not left to try and do this by ourselves, but you put the batteries in. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit and his presence with us. We thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, it's awesome, the gift of speaking in tongues that you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to release your Holy Spirit among us as your community, that we'll be able to understand and go on an adventure with these things. Pray that you release your Holy Spirit among us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.